My name is Sylvia. I'm really happy to be here. I was born to a Mexican family and basically was a second child and pretty invisible. So right now when I was called to be a 10-minute speaker, my mom says, well, are you going? I'm like, oh, hell yeah. A chance to be visible, to have eyes on me is like the opportunity of a lifetime. Yeah, and... So, like, I'm always wanting hugs and want to be, loved. And Alcoholics Anonymous gave that to me. So welcome to you newcomers. You know, I never felt I belonged anywhere. I was always trying to change myself as a little girl to please other people and please other people. And at the core of my being, I always want validation and approval. And so I got a distorted thinking right off the bat, and I set myself out to become someone so that you could see me, so I wouldn't be invisible. And I got a degree, and then I got a husband. I went hunting for a husband because I was going to have kids. That's what you're supposed to have, right, as a woman. And, you know, all the magazines tell us that. You know, I was going to be someone. Then I wanted a boy, and then I was blessed with a boy, and then I wanted two girls, and then I was blessed with... So I'm like, really? This is working, you know, but my alcoholism took and was taking a hold of me, and I became wealthy and all these, you know, social trappings, you know. They're supposed to be trimmings. Oh, no, they were trappings. You know, it took me down, and I lost everything, even my children, the properties, my soul. And so I kept on wanting to be at the core visible, right? So I was homeless at St. Vincent de Paul. One time they wanted a translator. I'm like, oh, I am going there. And I had, you know, arrived. But I arrived drunk. Yeah, I'm glad you relate, but it's a tragedy. AA gave me approval, gave me a voice. I was able to, you know, I was angry. I was so resentful. And, you know, I tie it to that, you know, I was a kid. I didn't have my needs met. Well, they did the best they could, but they just fed me and clothed me. No love, no tenderness, no belonging. So if you're new here, you belong to this fellowship. We will support you in every day, one day at a time, till you get sober, until you find yourself, because this is a program of taking our eyes off of others and off of alcohol and putting it here inside us and working the steps and finding out who we are. And it's just absolutely miraculous to discover yourself. And so today I am present for myself. I'm able to soothe myself and help myself with the help of Alcoholics Anonymous. See, because I go to daily meetings for years and years now. I do not stop coming here. This was Bill's biggest secret, because it is the people here. It's the group. It's the dynamics. You know, no hospitals, no books, nothing can save us until it... To date, you know, counseling even cannot at some level, but the group will carry us. First thing I do when I have pain is pick up the phone. I use the phone. Please grab a phone list and use it. And for men, it's really difficult, but you know what? It's fabulous to use the phone. And I journal, and then I journal on my steps. What's my part here? And now I'm beginning to see, you know what? I have patterns here. I have patterns of my childhood. When I go on a date, like if I dress real fancy and he doesn't notice me, I'm like, oh shit. There, you know, so guys notice our you know, nails or whatever. That's just a tip. But that was because my father wasn't able to acknowledge me, you know, and I see that now. And I don't have to behave like that, but yet I do. I react like a 5-year-old and I'm 54, you know. It's the same type of reaction. And so I get to see that, but that's because alcohol is far away from me now. It's emotional sobriety. George said it right. Absolutely. It's being at peace with myself and with others. Very, very difficult to have relationships. I don't know how to have intimate relationships with people. I'm very reactive. And I a number of things. So once alcohol left me, I was like, oh, wow, now what? And now what is continue to discover myself. And there's many, many 12-step programs, which I have also attended. I spot something in myself, and then I just Google it, and there's a 12-step for everything. Even, relationships, clutter, food, everything. I've been to almost all of them. Yeah, and every time I discover more things about myself, more patterns that link me into that childhood. And my mother was affected, so this is a family disease, right? My mother, how could she not? She was depressed when she found out she was having yet another girl. And how could she not? She's very reactive, very anxious because of the disease affected her. And so basically, I'm here to try to reach women that are new. It was very shameful for me to be a woman alcoholic. And that shame is huge. It's right there parallel to fear. And so it takes me down. At the beginning, if you look the wrong way, I was shamed. I couldn't speak. But one day at a time, I started speaking, and then shame starts melting away, and I'm accepted, and I belong, and that is the most beautiful thing that can happen. I have a tribe now that no matter what happens to me, because it's like waves, life just comes at me like waves, and no matter what happens, I have you all, and that is just priceless. Too bad I had to become an alcoholic to have you, but that's the price. That's the precious. Those are the nuggets. And the nuggets keep coming again and again. The more I do the work over here, see, I do the step work, and over here I start getting all sorts of wonderful things. I have a fabulous life inside and out. And I keep discovering more things. Like, I have shame for having a good life. So I'm like, what's up with that? Every time I get happy and I'm, content, I start setting boundaries on myself. And so now I know that it's just because I'm not used to it. I'm used to the chaos. I'm used to the anger. I'm used to resentments. And I could talk negativity all night long. But now I am willing and able to tolerate happiness and to become a normal person, whatever that means. But I'm just inching right along, and it's a very, very fine path, and it's wonderful. But I find myself causing my own chaos again and again, even coming here. I'm like, oh, I got to water the plants. I got to this. Oh, that's the chaos you start on yourself. So the awareness is huge, see? And then only my higher power can take that away, see? But at least here, we have an opportunity to watch ourselves. And every minute, it's a 24-hour work here that we do to keep eyes on ourselves, right? And it's pretty wonderful. It's pretty wonderful. My deepest wish was always to be visible, always. And now I am visible to my higher power. I found a higher power. One day I went to a retreat, and after doing my 12 steps, I went to a retreat, a woman's retreat. I have my bracelet that says Women in Recovery. So women, if you're around, grab another woman, and that's my path usually. And so I was out there just doing my little, oh, yes, and, ask God whatever, ask your higher power. And then I said, okay, well, God, whoever you are, what are you? And a ghost appears, which is nothing, right? And then I ask it, well, I want to be important. I want to be visible. And then you're supposed to wait for the answer. And I'm like, And then the ghost said, you are invisible. And I'm like, oh, but I am human, and I want to be important. And he says, well, you've done that. You've tried that too long, Sylvia. I welcome you to a higher realm of spirituality, something like that. You can't say it in words, but that was pretty awesome. And I only got that by doing my step work, by relying on something. Usually it was the power of the group. to actually help another woman with my experience is what makes me visible now. It's what makes me important. And I never knew. It's not the fancy little clothes that I started out with. And I'm so grateful for this program and for the woman who did reach out to me. Because I was so angry and I was so bitter that I'd raise my hand and I'd say, I need a sponsor that has my story. Well, I was going through a divorce and CPS and, you know, just, oh, chewing my husband and no one would want to come up to me, which I resent that too. But, you know, one woman said, you know, I've seen you years. You go, you come and you share your anger and you leave and you just go back to recovery. And she reached out to me. And today, a woman and I, that's what we were doing today, because that's our mission, to introduce ourselves to women, to say, come here, you're welcome. And so I don't know, I'm really happy. I'm joyful. This brings me very much joy to continue doing my step work. I do it every day. I journal. I journal on how I'm feeling because I was numb for so long. I numbed it with alcohol. Alcohol made me visible, seemingly, but it numbed my feelings. And today I'll tell you, honestly, I have 100 forms of ways that I numb myself. 100 ways. Even to the point, okay, I'll eat, or then I'll clutter, make little piles, or then, you know, I'll be distracted. I gotta drink water. Whatever, even that is a distraction to self for me. And so it's wonderful to continue discovering that alcohol is only a symptom, right? And that pain is going away. That pain that, you know, suddenly I'll turn around and I'm like, oh, was that me that said that? Yes, that was you. I worked gossiping, step work on my gossip. And one day, you know, all of a sudden I wasn't gossiping. It was wonderful to hear a group of people that were, and it had no energy anymore. And I did hard work on my steps. I get into step studies like those one week a day, and then I pick a topic that I'm struggling with, and I work my steps on that. So go within or go without. And stick to the program one day at a time. Thank you.